Hi everyone, welcome to the webinar, How to Use Your French Language Skills to Full Rate. My name is Megan Anthony, and I'm Recruitment and Outreach Officer for Sub-Saharan Africa, as well as our STEM programs, and I'm joined by Peter Rauchy. Peter, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi everyone, my name is Peter Rauchy. I'm a Recruitment and Outreach Specialist. I focus on the Western Hemisphere and also the STEM fields. What we're going to do today, we're going to go over an overview of the Fulbright program in general, and then really focus on Fulbright grants available through the scholar program that allow you to use your French language skills. So countries where French is a major language, there's a lot of interest in opportunities across the globe, but one of the key features of many, many international exchanges, of course, is language. And this webinar focuses on opportunities that really give you the opportunity to formally and informally use your French language skills while on your grant, conducting wonderful projects in teaching and research. So let's talk a little bit about the Fulbright program. I think it helps to get a sense of the history of the program because it's relevant to what makes a strong application today. The Fulbright program was established in 1946 by then junior senator from Arkansas, J. William Fulbright. Right. The point of the Fulbright program, the goal of the Fulbright program is really to expand and strengthen the relationships between the people of the United States and the rest of the world. Really, as a Fulbrighter, you're an ambassador, and that's really important to understand when you're crafting your application and the spirit that you want to bring to your activity when you're on your Fulbright grant. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and it's administered by the Institute of International Education. So on this next slide, we'll get a little bit more of an overview of some baseline eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program. So for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, you do have to be a U.S. citizen. If you are not a U.S. citizen, we have the Visiting Scholar Program, which brings international scholars to the United States on a Fulbright grant. But for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, you do have to be a U.S. citizen. Each award in our catalog of awards, and we have about 470 awards, will have different parameters, different requirements. And some awards will require specific degrees and backgrounds. Some awards require doctoral degrees or other terminal degrees, but many are open to applicants with master's degrees and professional academic experience that's commensurate with the parameters of the award. Recent master's degree recipients and folks who have a bachelor's degree are generally eligible for the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, which is a different aspect of the Fulbright Program, and you may want to look at opportunities in the U.S. Student Program if your profile is similar to that. That being said, again, there are many awards open on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program that are available and applicable to potential applicants with master's degrees and professional or academic experience. Certainly, you have practitioner awards, folks that are professionals outside of academia, artists. So there's a wide variety of what is available in our catalog. Many of our awards feature teaching as an aspect of the projects involved. If you are applying for a teaching award, there is quite frequently an expression of an amount of experience teaching written into the award description. Then lastly, I want to point out that there are new policies on Fulbright Scholar Grant alumni applying for additional grants. So if you've had a Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grant in the past, you have to wait 2 years to apply for another Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grant. However, there's no longer a limit to the number of Fulbright grants you can receive in your lifetime. You just have to wait those 2 years between Scholar Grant to Scholar Grant. So today we're going to focus on the core Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. These awards support teaching and research or a combination of teaching and research. These grants tend to be anywhere from 3 to 12 months. We have programs active in about 125 different countries, and generally these awards are for faculty, administrators, and professionals. These awards are open to all disciplines, all academic disciplines, but some awards may have specific disciplines of focus. You do have to pick a specific award and apply with a specific project. You can be hosted in a variety of host institutions depending on the parameters of the awards. You can be hosted at universities, certainly the most common type of host, but NGOs, research institutes, cultural institutes, and other similar organizations. The application deadline for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is August 1st, and as this graphic shows you, there's a nice proportion of teaching, research, and accommodation teaching and research. So really, there's a wide variety of what's available on the Fulbright Scholar Program. So I want to talk about some Francophone Award highlights. There are over the awards, Francophone award opportunities, and they're available across a variety of disciplines and a variety of countries. About 18 countries represented where you French is either an official language or a language that you will commonly encounter in the country, and these include some global awards. In terms of French language skills, some countries require French language fluency, others prefer French, but sometimes there are activities that can be conducted in English. Awards will list if a certain level of French is helpful or not, but you know, we'll unpack, we're going to highlight some of these awards, but then we'll also unpack how you can find information about these kinds of parameters. Even if French is not required for a specific award, French language proficiency may help make your application more competitive, so that's something to keep in mind. And on this PowerPoint, we have a link of the full list of Francophone awards. We'll make this PowerPoint available to everyone who registered for this webinar shortly after the air date of this webinar. So on this next page, let's start with awards in Europe and Eurasia. So we can't talk about Francophone awards without talking about France. There are many, many awards available in France, but I want to focus on two awards. The first award is the Hauts-de-France Regional Award. This award welcomes candidates in the natural and social sciences, but also the humanities. Specializations can include anything involving health, intelligence, planetary science, and the priority areas for this region are really multidisciplinary projects. They can include projects in the humanities, things that cross-cut across biology, health, physics, chemistry, material science. This is really, really an open-ended award, and you'll see awards like this throughout throughout France, the sort of regional awards in France. There's the Grand Est Award, there's a Nouvelle Aquitaine Award in France. You see a lot of regional awards in France. So this is there are similar awards to this, but this is a specific region of France that where this award is focused on. The next award I want to talk about in France is the Tocqueville Distinguished Chair Award. This award is a six-month opportunity. It's generally for full-time professors to really collaborate between U.S. and France, but it's open to all fields of study for their research. Grantees are invited as guest teachers and researchers at a French host institution, and they have the opportunity to meet with colleagues, to organize and participate in conferences, interact with French graduate and doctoral students in their areas of expertise. Grantees will teach courses at the postgraduate and doctoral level, undertake research, and really help organize and participate in things like conferences and seminars that are related to their areas of expertise. So moving on, we want to talk about the next two awards, one in Belgium, one in Luxembourg. So in Belgium, we have the NATO Security Studies Award. This award is supports projects in either just research or a combination of teaching and research. You really want to delve deeper in this award in your activities into NATO security interests while also experiencing your subject matter firsthand through living and working in the capital of Europe. Scholars can be placed either at the Brussels office or the German Marshall Fund or the College of Europe in Bruges. Applicants should have lecturing experience in transatlantic security studies, and early career applicants are welcome to apply to this award. And the next award is the Luxembourg Award, All Disciplines Award. This is a 3 to 5 month award that supports teaching, research, or a combination of teaching and research. Teaching is done in English, but scholars will have the opportunity to collaborate in French depending on the nature of their research project. These are actually two really good awards to contrast with each other because we see the very focused Belgium award focused on security studies, which has a particular set of disciplines relevant to the project and has several potential host institutions, whereas the Luxembourg Award, the All Disciplines Award, there are much more open parameters for this award for you to design your own project. So on this next slide, we'll actually move to the Western Hemisphere and talk about some of the Francophone opportunities there. So Canada has a robust series of awards, but let's talk about the All Disciplines Award to Canada. This award is a 4 to 9 month grant. It supports teaching and research or just research. And this is open really to any appropriate discipline. You really want to, though, focus on contemporary issues related to Canada, the U.S., and the relationship between the two countries. So that's sort of a focus point, but you can approach that from many different lenses. And with this award to Canada, you're open to institutions across the country. If you are applying for a Francophone institution, you want to make sure that your French is commensurate with the level of research that you're proposing. That means that if you shouldn't be proposing a research project that you don't have the level of language to conduct. One of the criteria that we focus on when we evaluate applications is feasibility. So if there are concerns around your ability to conduct your research for things like language ability or other considerations, that's something that you want to address in the application and really make sure that we understand that you have the skills to conduct the research or the teaching or the combination that you're proposing to do. The next opportunity in the Western Hemisphere I want to highlight is with Haiti. Haiti has an All Disciplines Award as well. This is a 4 to 9 month grant. It supports teaching, research, or a combination of teaching and research. Even though this is an All Disciplines Award, Haiti does have some preferred disciplines, including anthropology, archaeology, history that's not U.S. history, language, literature, sociology. So again, even though this is an All Disciplines Award, there are some preferred disciplines for this award, and you want to pay attention to that in the parameters of the award. The Faculté d'Ethnologie of the State University of Haiti is a potential host institution for this award. If you're interested in affiliating with that host, we have some resources in the award description, potential contacts for you to get in touch with the Faculté d'Ethnologie in Haiti. So there are some resources written into the award description if you don't have context. And with Haiti, the language requirement is such that fluency in French and or Haitian Creole is required. We do require a language proficiency report for this award. This is very common throughout the Western Hemisphere. You'll see a lot of language proficiency reports required. There are two phases to this. The first phase is a self-evaluation. The second is an external evaluation where you have someone who is qualified to teach French as a language to non-native speakers of French evaluate you. So this could be the head of a language department, a language professor, a language teacher, anyone that's really qualified to teach French. The way you complete the language proficiency report is through our application. So it's embedded in our application, and you actually register your external evaluator, and our application sends them an email with instructions on how to complete the evaluation. If you are a native speaker of French or Haitian Creole for the Haiti Award, then you only have to do the self-evaluation. And with this, I want to hand over the presentation to my colleague, May Anthony.
Thanks so much, Peter. So I will be talking about awards in Africa as well as the Middle East and North Africa. For the purposes of this webinar, we aren't going to be talking about any awards in Asia, although we do have many wonderful opportunities there as well. So for Africa, we have about 20 awards seeking French speakers in sub-Saharan Africa. Benin, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Guinea, Madagascar, Mauritius, and Senegal are specifically seeking French speakers, or perhaps knowing French would be an advantage in your application. I'll start with the award to Niger because it's a great example of the awards we offer to Africa. About half of the awards to Africa are all disciplines awards. I usually encourage people to look at the preferred disciplines, which are listed within the all disciplines awards, But you can really apply to any All Disciplines Award as long as you meet the rest of the requirements for the award. This award is also a good example to our options in Africa because it's a longer-term grant. Most awards to Africa are around 10 months, also, although there are shorter research opportunities available. And lastly, this is a great example because of the language requirements. French language ability is required for daily life. Teaching is in English and American literature. Fluent French is required for teaching in other disciplines. In countries that require French fluency, like Niger, you often don't need language abilities if you are teaching classes like American literature, although it might come in handy while navigating the country. This is an example of one of our three awards to Burkina Faso, the Engineering and Environmental Science Grant. This one is specifically looking for people who have a background in the disciplines that are listed on here, so water and sanitation, engineering, energy, civil, or environmental engineering, although I believe environmental sciences in general is also an area of interest. So they're really looking for people to come and teach undergraduate and graduate courses, provide tutorials, and supervise students at the International Institute for Water and Environmental Engineering, as well as conduct research in an area of specializations. It's open to early career scholars, and the teaching will be in English, but some French proficiency is useful for daily living. We have additional awards listed here, which are linked, which will be shared in the presentation within a week. So next, I'll talk about some opportunities in the Middle East. As you can see, we have several All Disciplines Awards that require French language ability. I've also included the Morocco-Spain Joint Teaching and Research Award, which is essentially an All Disciplines Award. French is encouraged for that specific award if it makes sense within the context of your project. Francophone language skills are especially important in Algeria. Most fields are taught in French or Arabic, and a working knowledge of French or Arabic is necessary to function in the community and communicate with host institutions. A 1-to-2-page summary of the project in Arabic or French is also required, in addition to the rest of the standard application requirements, except for proposals in the field of American Studies. It does not require a terminal degree, although priority will be given to those who have traveled to the region before, the Middle East in general, and who are PhD recipients. We actually received a question about Algeria before the webinar, which asked how to contact the embassy staff for the specific award. And this contact information for Algeria embassy staff is listed on the catalog of awards page for Algeria if you need help contacting host institutions. So that's something that will sometimes be listed on award pages and sometimes won't be. But in cases where it's not listed, then that is where staff like Peter and I come in and can help answer questions that you have. Morocco has similar language requirements and also requests that applicants include 1-page summary of proposed activities in French or Arabic, which I think I mentioned for Algeria, but if I didn't, they both require a 1-page summary of proposed activities in French or Arabic. Proficiency in French, Arabic, or Berber may be required depending on the research you propose and the location of fieldwork. French is the language of instruction in Moroccan public institutions of higher education, although a mix of languages is often used in the classroom. This award also doesn't require a terminal degree. They welcome engagement with the community, which is really something that's important for, I would really say, all of our Fulbright awards. It's one of the reasons we have a program like Fulbright. We want you to engage with the community while you're there, even if you are specifically doing a research project. But for the award to Morocco, they listed a couple of times on there, so it is incredibly important to them. And in addition, Morocco has a commission that provides great support to Fulbrighters. For Tunisia, applicants should discuss the language of instruction with their proposed host institution, as French or Arabic and or Arabic may be required. Successful applicants must demonstrate that their language skills are strong enough to excel in their proposed teaching and research. Applicants in all disciplines are welcomed with preference given to proposals that support Tunisia's democratic and economic development. Applications for all locations in Tunisia are welcome. However, they do take into account security considerations when they review proposals. And someone just reached out with a question that asked about citizenship. So it seems like there's someone who is now a U.S. citizen but is of Moroccan background, and they wanted to know if that would be a benefit to their application or if it wouldn't be. So that's something where we do encourage you to apply, and if you are applying, if you do have a background or you traveled to the country several times, that's something to mention in your application, because depending on the way that you say it, if you could potentially use that to your advantage to say that you do have really strong connections there, and you're able to understand the complexities of the region. So now I'm actually going to jump out of this and show you what our catalog of awards looks like. So this is where we have pulled all of these awards that we are going through and talking to you in detail. So we have over 400 awards in this catalog to over 125 countries. And honestly, it's just a lot of options, and we realize that it can be difficult to narrow down, or maybe you're someone who's open to going several places. So for here, we're just going to focus on the opportunities that are available to French speakers, or where knowing French would be an advantage or perhaps a requirement of this award. So you can, on this first page, you see lots of ways you can easily narrow it down. What I usually do is go into the award catalog here, because there's more categories that I can narrow it down with. So you'll see you can narrow it down by region. We define six different regions, Africa, Europe, Middle East, North Africa, for example. You can type in the specific country you're looking to apply to. We have a list, a long, long list of disciplines. So if you don't see your discipline listed on this specific list, it doesn't mean that we're not looking for someone in your field. It doesn't mean that we don't have awards that would be a good fit for you. It just means that these are just some broad categories that help us narrow it down and just make it easier to sort, because we do have just so many options. One other thing that I find really helpful is to narrow it down by grant length, because oftentimes, you might be interested in so many of our awards, but just given the time that you have, just really being realistic, you just don't have the time. So you can look, and we have awards. As Peter mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, we have awards from 3 months all the way to 12 months. We have one award to Israel that is actually about 2 years. So you can see that we have several different options for you, and that might be a quick way to narrow down your search. And then we have other things as well. So if you are just looking for awards that are academic or professional, or if you're in early career and you need to narrow things down, we have several different awards. So for now, if you are looking for awards where you want to utilize your French language skills, this is very simple, but just I would recommend doing a keyword search and just typing in French. Most of these awards will be applicable, although you should kind of look through. There's one random award that really has nothing to do with this, but most of these awards, you'll see many of them are different, but most of these awards, knowing French is something that's required or would be an advantage. So just looking through, just scroll down, see we have several awards to France. Here, Algeria, you can see the different countries. I'll just pick one of these awards to give you an example of what a catalog of awards looks like. So this is our Fulbright Tocqueville Distinguished Chair Awards. Distinguished Chair Awards are for eminent scholars. Generally, they have a long record of publication, something at least 10 years of experience in their field. And we have somewhere between 40 and 80 Distinguished Chair Awards, I believe. So here you can see a lot of information about the grant. If you look on the left, you'll see information about the grant activity. So they're looking for individuals to do teaching and research, collaborative research between the U.S. and France, and it's really open to all fields of study. It's a six-month grant. They list where it can be done, and if you have any questions about if the institution you're interested in is eligible, if the institution you want to work with is not listed on a grant, then I would really recommend contacting the program staff. If you look on the right, Ms. Aphrodita is the program staff for this award. And then you can see more information. This one just shows that they are really looking for people from all disciplines. If you look to the right side, you can see the degree requirements. and other important information. The award requirements page is where you will see their language requirement for a specific award, as well as the information about the letter of invitation. So many of our awards require a letter of invitation, which is a letter written by your collaborator in the host country, so generally from a university, but it could come from any number of institutions. This award is very unusual because it requires a different form that's not a letter of invitation, but it is still signifying the collaboration that you would be having with the host institution. And for this award, you can see that the French language fluency is commensurate with the nature of the project that you're doing, and that if it's applicable, then you should submit a self-evaluation. You should fill out our language proficiency report, but only if you're going to be utilizing French. So it's open to non-French speakers, but it could really come in handy to use your French language skills for this award. You may also see other information on our catalog of awards, but I just want to point out, like, they're really looking for someone who has at least the rank of associate or full professor. I'll skip through the other parts of this very quickly, but we also have our award benefits, and we have the monthly stipend and other information here, and then the country area overview. I always really recommend looking at it because it can provide some regional context about the country as well as the award you're applying for, and then that's something that's really important when you're applying for a Fulbright, to take into account the regional context. So someone asked a great question, which said, can you elaborate on what proficiency in French is required means? Does that mean fluency is required? So if they're asking for proficiency in French, generally that means it really depends on the specific award, but it'll generally say if it's looking for someone who's fluent in French. And proficiency can mean a lot of different things. It's always important to go back to the award catalog and see if they say anything more specific on their award page. But if they just say, they usually say something like some proficiency, which would just, usually it's a little bit more than basic conversation skills. You'd be able to communicate, but you don't need to teach in French, for example. I'd always recommend double checking the award page and following up with the program staff if you're not sure about a specific award. But that is a really good question. We generally provide information about it here, and in your proposal you would talk about how you plan to utilize French and if you think you're also ready to do the teaching or research that you're proposing with the language skills that you do have.
And I want to just piggyback on that a little bit, May, and just emphasize what you just said. Using the West Hem as an example, we see in Haiti, French or Haitian Creole fluency is required, whereas in Canada, if you're applying to a French Canadian institution, you want to make sure that your French is commensurate with the level needed to conduct the research. So many institutions in Quebec and French-speaking Canada are actually English-speaking institutions, or can accommodate English-speaking faculty, but you don't want to design research that you yourself cannot accomplish given your current language skills and other skills as well. So that's something to keep in mind. But again, I want to emphasize as well what May said. If you have any confusion around what we mean by fluent French or French is helpful, there's always a program staff attached to each award, a program staff member rather. So feel free to reach out to us if you have questions along those lines.
Thank you so much, Peter. And we got another question before the webinar started. It was really specific, but I think that I'll answer very quickly and show you guys through, because I think it's something that'll be relevant to a lot of you. But someone asked, how long are teaching opportunities? Are any of them short-term, 3 to 6 months, and how fluent must I be? So if you are someone who has similar questions to this, this is one way where you can find these answers. You'll see that I still have French pulled up here in the search bar. I'll also go down and select teaching and the activity, and then I'll go down into the grant ones, and we don't have 3 to 6 months, but we do have 3 to 5 months. So then I'll click search awards. As you can see, like, if someone is looking for short-term, 3 to 6 month teaching opportunities where French can come in handy, we have about 10 awards where that is available. And then we already briefly mentioned the award to Morocco. And that's just something that I'll pull up here in case you are more interested. But you can see the activity is teaching. This is the grant length, 3 to 10 months. And then we have more information about in the grant activity about what teachers should be proposing. And most importantly, for this webinar, we have a lot of information, which I did briefly summarize earlier about the language requirements. But as you can see, it gets very specific, which is great. So this specific award to Morocco, it tells you which universities need French speakers. And it tells you that if you're applying for teaching research, that they do need you to include additional one-page summary in French of the award. So this is just one example of how you can find the award for you. Our program staff is always here, but I don't know about you. Sometimes I just want an answer right now. And so this is a really great way to just do a quick search and find something. And then if you're someone who's like, actually, I just want to see how many teaching awards are available in general, if you take out the French, look, we have about 164 awards available that are just for that are short-term teaching opportunities. So I hope that's helpful as you start to think about the awards that you're interested in. And now I'm actually going to go back to our PowerPoint and talk a little bit more about the actual application. So the catalog of awards lists really, really specific opportunities, but every single person who applies for a Fulbright does need to fill out our application, which you can see here. This full screen. All right. There we go. All right. So all of our application components are listed on our website with clear guidelines and additional guidelines. We have a lot of really helpful information online. The application itself is pretty straightforward. We ask you to fill out basic biographical information, and then we also have I guess here, this is a webpage of a bunch of application resources which are online, but let me walk you through the application components page so that will make a little more sense. So first of all, we require a 3 to 5 page project statement that addresses what you propose to do, what you plan to get done, why it's important, what benefits it will produce for you, your host, and your home institution. As a side note, you aren't required to have a home institution if you are retired, and none of our awards have any sort of age requirement or anything, so you can generally apply to a lot of awards if you have a terminal degree and you're retired. You would just instead address the impact on your home community. For example, if you're planning on writing a book or a publication or just getting involved in your community in some way. We have more guidance about project statements on our website, as well as sample project statements. You should also submit a tailored CV of up to 6 pages and 3 letters of reference. If you're proposing to do any kind of teaching, one of the reference letters must address your teaching ability. You do have to register your references in our online application so it can be completed by the referee. You can't send us your reference letters, but your referee has to complete them on their own. And they must be submitted by August 1, our application deadline. And if you're proposing to teach, please include 2 syllabi designed by you and expressive of your philosophy of teaching and indicate if they were used previously. If you're conducting research, then you should propose a 3-page bibliography, which should reflect the current state of research on the proposed topic and references to professional work or publications. Page limits are really important, so do make sure you stay within the guidelines that we set up. So language requirements, as we've talked about, will be specified in the catalog of awards, although it may depend on the host institution you teach. And it is important to confirm the language instruction of the host institution and be really specific in your application as to how you will be teaching. And research, you must have enough research to do the proposed activity and address whether you're going to do your research in English or another language. Or if you're someone who isn't fluent in a language, you know, how are you going to either work with a translator, for example, or perhaps improve your language ability? I have had people in their language proficiency report address that they're planning on taking intensive language classes or something like that. So that is something that you can mention if you are planning on working on the language. and your application may require a letter of invitation. That is something that is dependent on the award. It will be listed really specifically if it is required. A letter of invitation should be on official letterhead and include the dates for which you're invited. Other than that, the format's really open. It should say what you're being invited to do, a description of the host's interest in your project. It should be in English or include an English translation. And I always tell people when I'm inviting them, this should be something that hopefully shows that they're enthusiastic about the project that you are writing about. It should show that you've had conversations with them, that you do have collaboration, that they're excited for you to come work with them, whether that be teaching, whether that be research, or both. And generally, and if award doesn't require an invitation but does recommend it, I would still encourage you to pursue an invitation because it will strengthen your application overall. If you don't have contacts at the host institution or if it's not listed in the award and you are looking for someone to write your letter of invitation but you really don't know where to start, I'd first recommend using the resources at your home campus, like your international office, or taking a look at our scholar directory, which lists names, project titles, and host institutions of previous scholars. You can ask for an introduction. You can also do some internet research. A lot of information can be found online. If you just look at the university website, you can often find contact information for faculty that you find interesting. We personally at IAE do not keep the names of contact information for university staff abroad, so this does require a bit of hard work on your part, but we will help you as best we can, so feel free to contact us if you are struggling, and we will be happy to work with you. But in general, it's best to first look at the catalog of awards, see if there's any contact information, and if there's not, reach out to your network, do some internet research, and those are some really great steps. And I just got another question from someone. Are the three letters of recommendation required for American citizens who wish to do research? And yes, the answer to that is yes. So if you're applying to the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which is the program that we've been talking about for the last 37 minutes, and if you're a U.S. citizen applying to this program, then yes, you do need to provide three letters of invitation, whether you are teaching or whether you are doing research or whether you're doing both. And this also includes some information about individuals in the arts. I won't elaborate on that as we have a lot of information online, but we also have a recorded fine arts webinar if you would like to check that out. So here are some great tips for submitting a competitive application. I won't go into this too much as we have a lot of resources online and we do a lot of advising on this, but I will say I always encourage people to put together an application that is compelling, something that is impactful, as well as something that is feasible. So with the time that you have, we want to see things that are interesting, but also that, you're not saying something that is completely over the moon, So put together something that is interesting. So if you're doing research, we want to see that it's unique research that, addresses research that hasn't been done before. We want to see why it needs to be done in the host country that you're proposing. This slide will be online, and there are lots of other information. And we do also ask that, I mentioned earlier that it's important to connect with the community that you're in. This is where that cultural diplomacy piece comes in. I do think sometimes people forget that the point of Fulbright is mutual understanding. We really want to impress that upon you. We do want to see in your applications, even if you're a researcher, that you are somehow involving other people in your research, maybe graduate students or something like that. Or if you're a teacher, perhaps giving lectures to individuals outside of a classroom or really connecting with your students there. There are so many different wonderful ways that you can be a cultural diplomat, and we can't wait to see them. All right, and this will just be another brief slide. So essentially the applications are due August 1, and then from there is a long period of review. So from August 1 forward until really the following spring, your application will be reviewed. It'll be reviewed by a group of your peers who are from the same discipline. It'll be reviewed by previous Fulbright scholars. It'll be reviewed by the U.S. Embassy or Commission in Country, as well as the Department of State, and as well as the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. So grantees are notified on a rolling basis the following next spring, so February to May or June. So this is also something to keep in mind as you are applying for the program and thinking of the future. And the awards themselves occur fall 2019 and spring 2020. And with that, that is all I really have. I do want to show you what the scholar directory looks like. So let's see. I don't think I have it pulled up here, but so if you can actually just Google Fulbright Scholar Directory. And this is a great resource to find to connect with previous Fulbright scholars in a region if you would just like to hear about their experience or if you would perhaps like to ask them to help you find a contact. You can sort by discipline, you can sort by the country, even the host institution that they went to. And I suggest clicking U.S. Scholar and Cores. That is the U.S. Scholar program. And then, for example, if you wanted to find a country, it will pop up here, and you can see everyone who has gone to that country. And we don't have their contact information listed on there, but it is generally very easy to find them, and our alumni are generally very helpful. All right. So, and then on here, you can see more information about the specific project that they did, when they did it, what they did. So that can also just be interesting if you were just interested to see who has gotten Fulbrights before. I believe it goes back to something like 2011. All right, and with that, my speaking part is done, but we'd be happy to answer questions.
So, yes, we thanks so much, May. We actually have a bunch of questions that people have been chatting in, and I've been trying to sort of individually answer questions, but some of the questions that folks have been asking about may be worth speaking to in general to the whole group. So one question came up around the Public Policy Fellowship. So this award is part of our catalog of awards, but this award does have a different deadline. This award has an October 1st deadline. Most of the 471 awards in our catalog of awards will have an August 1st deadline, but this award has a later deadline. The Public Policy Award is a bit of a different kind of award in our catalog. Essentially, this award provides opportunities for U.S. early and mid-career professionals and practitioners to serve in professional placements with a foreign government ministry or an institution that partners with governments around the world. With this, there are four separate opportunities, one in Peru, one in Burma, one in Guatemala, and one in Ukraine. So that's a different, it's a special kind of award that's a little bit different than the other awards that are in our catalog. It's more focused on a professional development project focused on public policy. So that is a different award. We had another question about dual citizenship. Does it help? Does it hurt? Is this allowed? So that's a really good question, and this is something that is going to really, really depend on the award. So some awards are completely open to dual U.S. citizens and citizens of that country. Some awards expressly forbid it. Other awards, it can sometimes even be helpful to be a dual citizen of that country. So the particular question was about Senegal, and so I'm actually in the award description on our catalog, and I'm looking to see if there's any restriction on that award regarding dual citizens. It doesn't seem to pop up. I will, though, defer, May, if you can tell us more about the Senegal All Disciplines Award, if you know if there's an issue with dual citizens applying to that award.
Yeah, so I will confirm after this webinar with my colleagues, but in general for Africa, there isn't an issue, and we actually do receive a fair number of proposals from, if not dual citizens, at least heritage scholars, often people who have done programs like the Carnegie Africa Diaspora Program, who do you apply. So I don't think it should be an issue, but I will double check and follow up via email.
Right, and again, though, this will vary greatly by country. Some countries expressly forbid dual citizens. Others, you have to enter on your passport. For example, in West Ham, a lot of countries, if you're a dual citizen of the U.S. and that country, you have to come to that country on your passport from that country. So there's a wide variety of regulations around this. A lot of it is tied to visa and other kinds of perspectives for the country. We had a question about other awards to France. So on this PowerPoint, there is a link to all the awards available in France that will be hyperlinked in the PowerPoint. We will share this with all registrants for this webinar shortly after we air this webinar today, and we'll archive it. But you can also go into our catalog of awards, as May was demonstrating, and just search for France. You can actually specify a particular country, and you can see everything that's available in that country. We have a question about the specialist program and if it conflicts with the wait period between scholar grants. And then we also have another question about the wait period between scholar grants. So I'll step back a little bit and explain that a little further. There is a wait period between U.S. scholar grant and U.S. scholar grant, meaning that you have to wait 24 months after the end of your previous grant before you can apply to another Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grant. This is not affected by the specialist program, though. So this is only U.S. Scholar Grant to U.S. Scholar Grant. So again, you have to wait 24 months between the end of your previous Fulbright Scholar Grant before you can apply for another Fulbright Scholar Grant.
Great. And we did receive a question earlier where someone asked, can I learn French or up my French prior to arriving? This is something I kind of addressed earlier, but I just do really want to be specific about it. So it can be helpful to improve your French or learn French before going to on a grant or for applying to a grant to a French-speaking country. In general, if you're applying to teach, they do want people to be fluent in French if the grant requires it. However, if you are somewhere where French isn't required but it is encouraged, we really would encourage you to take French classes, something that fits with your schedule, and also tell us that you're planning on doing that. So it's always important, as we've kind of mentioned a few times, to look at the catalog and see what the specific requirements are. But in general, if you're, for example, you want to do research and it's somewhere where you're working with a translator, but you're also going to be in the community and you don't know very much French, but you'd like to improve it and perhaps utilize it, we would encourage you to do so. And someone else asked, which assignments offer both continued intensive French language training and teaching, and they wanted to do a cultural exchange mostly with English. So Peter might have more information on this, as he does work with Europe more than I do. But I would say, in general, for this specific program, you're going abroad to teach or do research in a foreign country. You can do language training on your own, but often, but at least to my knowledge, at least, the program that we offer isn't specifically geared towards language training. We are asking you instead to bring your expertise to the country that you go to, and it is encouraged to learn another language while you're there, and we may have resources, like the USMC might have resources on that, or colleagues that you meet might be able to help you with resources on that. But other than that, I don't think we have any specific programs geared towards teaching people foreign languages. But Peter, if I'm wrong, let me know.
No, that's exactly right, May. I mean, it's certainly you will learn from being there, obviously. but the focus of your work is your research or teaching, not necessarily your own personal language learning. That absolutely, though, can be a component in both official and unofficial ways, depending on the parameters of the grant. But this is not, the focus of your activity is your teaching and research.
That's great. And we have another question about how do you demonstrate fluency. So, Peter, I'm going to pull up what the Language Proficiency Award was. Could you answer that question? And I'll pull it up so we can kind of tag team this answer, this question.
Yeah. So the language proficiency, we really leave that very open because of the variety of the kinds of applicants that we get and the variety of awards that we have on offer. Essentially, though, it's pretty succinct. There's two phases to it. There's the self-evaluation where you are evaluating yourself and your capacity in that language, and then there's an external evaluation where you have to register an external evaluator to evaluate you in that language. And there's a form where they look, can give insight on your speaking, your reading, your writing, and your listening in that language. We leave the methods of evaluation up to the evaluator, so it's entirely up to the evaluator. But generally, the evaluator can be the head of a language department, a language professor, or really anyone that's qualified to teach French to non-native speakers of French that is an appropriate contact for language evaluation.
Yeah, thank you so much. And right here I've pulled up the actual application. We've recently modified this, and I think the changes are actually really easy. So you'll see at the top you have to pick something. So if you're a native speaker, it will show you that you have to complete the self-evaluation, but you don't need to do anything else. And if language proficiency isn't required for the proposed grant activities, you can see that both of these forms are optional. And if it is required for the proposed grant, so the catalog specifically says that they're looking for someone who's fluent in French to teach your research, or that your specific institution requires you to speak French to be teaching your research, then you will have to do both. And these forms look long, but a lot of it is just simply instruction. So you can put up to three languages that you speak. If you speak more than three languages, I'd really only include the languages that are relevant to the proposed place that you would be doing a Fulbright. There's no need to do. And then if you can include more in your resume as well, if you simply really do want to talk about all the languages that you know. And here you can see we ask for three brief paragraphs. And while you actually apply, I encourage you to read through this more thoroughly than I'm showing you. This is the whirlwind tour. But you can see, for example, we want to know for the self-evaluation the coursework that you've taken. We want to know the opportunities that you've had for speaking the language. And for the external language evaluator, it's very simple. So we have all of this instruction here right now in front of the screen where you can see it's just instructions. To actually register someone for this, you just type in their name and their email address. It's very simple, and it's very intuitive, and you can also send them a reminder if they, for some reason, don't get your original email. And it should just be someone, Peter explained it wonderfully, but it should just be someone who's a foreign language instructor.
So we have a question about, do any of our awards offer PhDs or master's degrees? So this is the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which are generally awards that are appropriate for faculty, administrators, professionals, practitioners outside of academia, and a wide variety. But none of our awards offer a degree conferral on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. If you're looking to for a Fulbright program that could potentially offer a foreign degree, a degree conferred from another country, you'll want to look at the Fulbright U.S. Student Program. So these are different aspects of the Fulbright program. And I know that in France, for the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, we have the Paris Saint University Awards. So there is an opportunity to get a master's degree through that award on the Fulbright U.S. Student Program. For the person that asked that question, I will actually follow up with you individually after the webinar. But this webinar is focused on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which, again, are generally for faculty, administrators, and established professionals outside of academia. We have a few more minutes if folks want to chat any questions through. We have a few minutes. But before we take any last questions, again, I want to emphasize what May mentioned. There are so many ways to stay in touch with us. You can join my Fulbright at CIES2.org and specify any interests you have in terms of countries, in terms of academic disciplines. You can email us, absolutely. You can visit our website. You can refer our colleagues through the referral service. The referral program, and there are many, many ways to engage with us on across all social media platforms. And we do encourage you to stay in touch. We got one quick question. Is there a maximum age limit? Absolutely not. For the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, we welcome folks from all levels of their career, postdoctoral, but many of our awards are open to folks with master's degrees, but we absolutely welcome independent scholars, scholars emeritus, depending on the parameters of the specific award, many of our awards do not require a home affiliation in the U.S., so retired scholars, scholars emeritus, absolutely welcome to apply.
Yeah, and just one last question before we go. Someone asked if we can apply to multiple programs. So you can apply to one program per competition for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grant. So I'd recommend picking the one that best suits your interest as well as your experience. And our staff is on hand if you'd like to ever discuss anything more thoroughly. But we really would recommend finding the program that's the best fit for you.
There is one part of the application you should be aware of, though, where you can indicate other interests if you are interested, so you can indicate, different countries, different awards, but that is the only place of the application where you want to indicate that, and you want to indicate it, you don't want to write an application that could be read for one or two or three different countries. You really want to focus on the specific award that you're applying to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and with that, I think we will end this webinar. Thank you so much for coming and joining, and do feel free to follow up with either Peter or me if you have any further questions about opportunities to utilize your French language skills.
Merci beaucoup.
Au revoir.